Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt George is making his way back to D'Lo and KC. Clearly, he's looking something up. He's not.
Is that
looking,
a Jessup hat?
It is a Jessup hat. Right.
They make hats. Right. Are you allowed to wear hats there?
Yes, we are. We do have to ask for forgiveness afterwards when we take them off and bow super low to the floor.
Sure.
Drink wine, the blood of Christ.
Yes, and then you You wear that during your Bible study course.
It's not Bible study. How dare you? We're Bible minors. So we have, you know, like
that's what
theologies.
It was.
We do our big paper. This is a big deal. It's called an exegesis. It's a real thing.
Say that one more time.
It's called an exegesis. It's like the biggest paper that you need to write. It's like a 20-page paper or something like that, where you take essentially Bible verses and you dive deep into the history and the meaning and the context. It's called an exegesis. It's like a gigantic paper essay about a Bible verse.
Do you still have yours?
My exegesis? Oh, probably. Hold on.
I don't know why. I'm not comfortable with that. It doesn't. It just sounds wrong.
He can say it.
Yeah. How dare you? Don't say that. That's our word.
Call it the X word.
Let's dive deep into the folders here. Keep talking. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about Maxine Reno, because he was the bright spot in last night's Kings game. And Matt, I guess maybe we start here and then kind of segue into some of the different components of the game. Are we past? I mean, you host a podcast. You're a news reporter. This basketball team is I think 5-17 now. Are we past the point of talking wins and losses with the Sacramento Kings already?
First off, bad news. I cannot find the exegesis.
That is devastating. That is absolutely devastating.
Anyway, maybe I'm just going insane. It's very possible, and it's only December 4th with this season, but I was totally okay with what happened last night. Like, I was totally okay with it, because it was, Kings fans, myself, those who are clamoring for play the young guys more, take minutes away from the veterans, play the young guys more. That result is exactly essentially what we're asking for. It's they get to play. There are some bright spots with some of them. Others really struggled. Like, Keegan Murray didn't have a very good game. Keon Ellis had a really, really bad game statistically, like didn't do anything in his 20 minutes on the floor. Neat Clifford struggled, but Maxime Reynaud was fantastic. The first half was really competitive, with the young guys playing a decent portion of that first half. But then they got run off the court by one of the best teams in the Western Conference in the second half, and they ended up losing by a significant margin. But that loss is no different than so many of the losses that the Kings have already suffered this season, playing Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan 35-plus minutes. And it's not to go at those two, or even DeMontis Sabonis if you're playing, or Russell Westbrook or whoever. It's not to single anybody out as much as it is, like, at least that loss felt productive, finally. Now, that's what's important to note is that's how I feel right now. If this becomes the norm 20 games from now, if they continue to get blown out, like there are going to be frustrations. It'll be a little more negative than I feel right now. But this felt like growing pains, finally. It felt like a productive loss. It felt like, okay, we got to see what we've been clamoring for, at least to start. And so for that, I'm not upset about it. But again, we'll see if that becomes a norm 20 games from now and they're 1-19 over those 20 games and losing by an average of 15 points. We'll probably feel a little bit differently then. But I'm just excited to see the young guys playing and the veterans getting less minutes.
I'm going to ask you a question, and it's just it's going to sound like I'm being snarky or nothing like that. I promise you I'm not. It's just curious. What was productive about it? Like they got beat up. Max played well. They got beat up. The other young guys out there looked like they didn't belong. I guess, is it just Max?
I think that's true for Precious. I don't know if Precious counts as a young guy. That's fine.
I was thinking like Keon, Keegan, and Neek.
Keegan and Precious might be the same age. I got you.
I was thinking Neek.
Young too. In NBA years. Yeah. I got you. Yeah, yeah, sure.
So what was productive? Maxime Reynaud and Neek Clifford got to share the court with Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün, and Amen Thompson for a good portion of the game. Mm-hmm. Right. One of the things that's been frustrating me that I've heard some people in Sacramento discuss when it talks about the numbers, because the numbers do support when the young guys are playing, good things are happening for team basketball. But a lot of people are just dismissing that as, oh yeah, but it's because they're playing against the second unit, the opposing team's second unit. Nah, that's not the case. Like these guys, Max played the vast majority of his minutes against the top dudes with Houston last night, held his own. His plus minus ended up being a negative because the Houston Rockets are a significantly better team than the Kings are. And I'm not so convinced that that result would have been any different had you played the other top guys 30 plus minutes a night, because that's what we've been seeing this entire freaking season. So what was productive about last night? You got them real legitimate minutes against not just legitimate NBA talent. We're talking about some of the best talent in the league, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And they struggled at times. At other times, they held their own. Right. You don't have to put up great numbers and shoot 60% to learn something. In fact, a lot of players and coaches will tell you it's in the moments where you struggle, when you fail, that you learn the most. And I can't tell you specifically what Neek Clifford learned last night, but I promise you learned something. There was a clip where of Maxime Reynaud when towards the end of the game where Max and Kevin Durant had a bit of a moment together, and Durant like kind of dapped him up and patted him on the chest, and Max was smiling at him. I don't know what he said to him, but clearly there was a respect, rookie, or a learning moment.
I think he said,
there.
Y'all suck, bro.
And could be. Genuinely could be. Like, those moments, you're not, like, what's the point of not allowing your young guys to get those moments? Keegan Murray didn't play a very good game, but he played the majority of the minutes for the Sacramento Kings, and the majority of the time he tried to defend Kevin Durant, and Durant did his thing and hit a couple shots. He had a turnaround jumper on the baseline that, like, there's nothing you can do to defend that shot, but Keegan was at least in that spot, and he's been in that spot for the last 2-3 years that he's been in the league. So sign me up for these guys learning the hard way and going through the fire against legitimate NBA talent and losing, then throwing guys that have been there, done that, walked the walk in the NBA for the better part of, some of them closing in on a decade and a half or around a decade and a half, who are making the same mistakes and failing because they look disinterested in even trying that hard. So I'm all for the productivity of the young guys.
For the record, I agree with Matt. I literally was just asking, like, what did he find productive?
Yeah, you heard Matt's voice elevate there to start that answer. Like, hey, man, I'm not trying to – I don't want no static, man. I'm not asking. I'm a broadcast journalist. Matt's voice got louder as he started that conversation.
I don't want no smoke.
That's the mic.
I think it's your passion for seeing a vision for the Sacramento Kings team, which – feels like they have none right now. So what did you think?
My pulse is a little elevated too, though, because I almost died putting up Christmas lights. Like, oh, these were in my pocket. Wow. So I'm coming down from that
these
fear.
Are
so
the original Christmas lights, well, too. By
okay,
the way.
Are these Christmas lights outside?
Yeah, no, they're in my kitchen, D'Lo. What the hell? What? Yes, these are around the outside of my house.
Oh, don't do that.
Why?
Yo, because, well, let's start with I almost died putting Christmas lights up. Let's start there.
This is D'Lo saying he hires people to do it, but we sounds don't rich. All have D'Lo money. So some of us have to put our lights up ourselves with our rickety old ladder that we forgot sucks.
Boy, this is getting sounds worse rich. By the second. First of all, I have nothing outside of my house and I get chastised for it every day. But no. Let me go ahead and have my day start with KC being upset that he was blowing up inflatable Santas and Matt talking about he nearly died putting up Christmas lights. No. Sign me up for that.
For the kids, D-Lo, you got two in the house now. Get going, bud.
I got three in the house. One's just 17. And she is the biggest proponent of decorating. What do you make of Doug Christie's post game remarks about Max and what his potential role might be for the Sacramento Kings moving forward, or at least in the immediate future?
Yeah, I mean, Doug's comments about Max have been pretty interesting over the last handful of games. Before what was the game? It was the Memphis game in Sacramento.
Memphis was the last one, yep.
Someone asked him about Max. Might have even been me. I genuinely don't remember. And he had a glowing review for Max. He talked about like Max is one of his favorites. And he talked about how great Max is off the floor, complimented Max's upbringing and compared him. And this sounds so like insulting in a way, but Doug loves his analogies and his analogies land. He talked about like dog years when talking about Maxi Marino. And he goes like, you know, a dog ages 7 years in one. Well, it looks like Max has aged or developed 6 months in one. Like, that's what he's talking about. The development of Maxime Reyneau over this last month and some change has been pretty astonishing, to where, like, in the summer league, we saw Max do some good things, and then we saw Max struggle with, like, certain things like physicality. And that was against, no offense, summer league talent. We saw him play at the very beginning of this season and a little bit in the preseason. And he lost his job to Dylan Cardwell because Dylan was at least more physical and more established. And like Max just didn't look ready. Now here he is a month and some change later, and he's averaging 17 points in 25, 26 minutes over the last three games. He looks comfortable. He looks like he belongs. There are certain things he absolutely still has to work on, has to get stronger. I want to see him attack the glass more aggressively, rebounding the basketball. But like night and day difference in terms of belonging in the NBA from just a month ago. So imagine what the next 3 to 4 months of him getting 20 plus minutes a night, imagine how he can continue to grow and to develop. So D'Lo, going back to your question about Doug's comments, like it makes perfect sense to me for Max to start until Domantas Sabonis gets back. Like Drew Eubanks, I like Drew. Casey, you've been very accurate over the course of this season, saying like Drew's been better than expected. I feel the exact same way, especially as a rim protector. Like, I didn't know Drew Eubanks blocked shots as much as he did. He, for some
completely
reason,
completely useless. But
yes, it is useless, and it kills children in the third row, but he loves to do it. For some reason, Drew Eubanks, who's been known as a floor spacing center, doesn't space the floor and shoot very much. And that's also been an issue with Maxime Reyneau, who was a great shooter in Stanford and really isn't shooting the ball very much right now. And I think that has more to do with the Kings offense and their necessity just to have anyone over 6'9", 6'10" in the paint, because the Kings are desperate for size at this point. Like, it makes perfect sense for me for Doug to give him that opportunity and let him sink or swim. He's going to have moments where he fails. He's going to start and play against starting caliber centers like maybe Bam Adebayo in Miami or whoever, that are going to push him around, and he's going to struggle, but good. Like, what benefit is Drew Eubanks playing and starting and then only playing 10 minutes and you have Max come in 3 minutes into the game anyway? Just start the dude. And then once Domantas Sabonis comes back, we know what it is. Domas is back into the starting lineup. I just hope he's not playing 37 minutes. Hopefully he's playing 32 and Max is still getting opportunity, as are the rest of the young guys. And you're using this time wisely until a trade can happen.
Can I piggyback off that real quick? Let's go with your theory, because I like it. Let's say he does well, you know, for what Doug is looking for. Domas does come back. Do you have to move him out of the starting lineup?
There are a lot of people that would love to see Domas at the four, Max at the five, for him to truly be able to space the floor with Domas in the paint, Keegan to the three. I think a lot of people would be curious with that. So, but
I don't want to put that on anybody, because that's me. That's one thing I've wanted to see all year.
But the issue with that, or the conversation around that, because that's, we've been talking about that since the summertime, really since Max was drafted. Mm-hmm. What was the conversation around that, though? Well, you got DeMar and you got Zach, so you can't play.
Oh, no, that conversation's dead. Zach LaVine can go to the bench.
Exactly. There you go. Or yeah, Zach that conversation is going to be traded. So the context has changed around that to where that seems possible now. That seems a lot more possible than it felt during the summer. During the summer, it felt like, hey, maybe they could try this wishful thinking. Now it's like, no, one of the two of them could very well be gone, or Doug will remove them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely.
What'd you think about Doug last night? Felt like it was a decision by him to say, I'm not doing this with you tonight, Zach. Like, you don't look like you want to be here. I'll make it where you're damn near not here. You know what I'm saying? You can sit right here on the bench with me, and I'll give those minutes to somebody else, even though, you know, we're getting our teeth kicked in this third quarter. I'd rather go about that with guys like Monk and even Keon, even though he didn't do much yesterday, as opposed to you just kind of jogging up and down the floor. How did you read that the same way, even with, like, watching it and then hearing what Doug had to say after the game? Or is that just something that we're all kind of maybe making up?
You know how easy it is for us and talking heads to say, yeah, just bench Zach LaVine or just bench DeMar DeRozan. Take away these minutes of these guys that are making $40+ million, or in DeMar DeRozan's case, he's a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. So easy for people to say it. It's harder for any coach, whether you're an established former player like Doug Christie or a legendary, whoever, to look someone in the eye in the modern NBA with how much of a players league it is. And you guys were just talking about how much of an agents league it is right now, how tough it is to look any of those guys in the eye and go, hey, I'm a first time head coach. I'm playing you less because I need to play my young guys more. Like, that takes stones, self-confidence, an established relationship, patience. That takes a tremendous amount for any coach to do, let alone a coach in Doug Christie's situation. So I give him a tremendous amount of credit for doing what needs to be done. And I've been pretty consistent over the last handful of weeks with Scott Perry and hopefully ownership or whoever, decision makers, any management, hopefully has given Doug as green of a light as possible to make the basketball decisions that need to be made. Like, Doug should not fear making those moves and focusing more to the future because he's worried about the future because he's not going to have a job because the Kings are going to lose basketball games. So he needs to play these veterans because they give him the best chance to win basketball games. Like, that, Doug should not coach that way. He had to coach that way last year when he was auditioning for the job. Now he has it and he's under contract for at least the next 2 years. Or two seasons if you include this one. Maybe a third with that player, our team option, essentially. So I give him a tremendous amount of credit. It needs to be done. We've been calling for it, asking for that switch. It's time to pivot. You are who you are. You are where you are. The record is what it is with this veteran lineup. a lot of these guys, or some of these guys, very clearly don't want to be here. And it's going to be in the best interest of Scott Perry and the Kings to move on from them and still try and do right by them if he can, in the case of like a DeMar DeRozan. Use this time productively. Doug did that. He started that process last night. And I'm very curious to see, was that like a one-time thing, or like, or is this going to be the same for the rest of this road trip? Miami, Indiana, when they come back to Sacramento, like, is this going to be how it is? Or was that just you kind of dipping your toe in that pool and seeing what it looked like? But even to make that decision on a one-off is not easy to do. And it was the 100% right call last night.
You said Doug needs to coach this team. Like, he doesn't, he's not auditioning. He has the job.
Yeah.
Does he?
I mean, everybody says that he does, and his contract says that he is an NBA head coach, not an interim. So
I phrased that poorly. Do you believe his future as the head coach of the Sacramento Kings, and I'm talking immediate future, next year? I don't think there's any scenario where he loses his job during the season. Do you think no matter how this season ends, Doug Christie will be the head coach of the Sacramento Kings next year?
No. Yeah, no. And the structure of his contract, and this is why when we found out the details of the contract, both Kyle Madsen and I had the exact same reaction, which is like, this is alarming because you built a contract to give you an out at the same time that you have an out on some of these veteran contracts. You tied Doug directly to the years of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. Like, that's what you did. And you gave Scott Perry an out to go out and get his guy, which there's always been speculation, no matter what Scott Perry says. And this is kind of the Monty McNair effect too, because Monty always said it was his decision, but everybody knew better. Like, there's the speculation that was Doug Scott Perry's hire, or was it Vivek Ranadive very firmly imposing Doug onto Scott and saying, you're going to take the job, but we want Doug Christie to be our head coach? Might be a little bit of both. Who knows? Regardless, like, Scott doesn't get the pass. He doesn't get the out. Like, he verbally committed to Doug Christie, said all his things about Doug Christie, all those great words in those press conferences. So you got to stand by your words. And I also believe that firing a coach after 1 year, regardless of how bad this year was, when you yourself, talking about Scott Perry, knew the limitations of this roster. And like, Scott's not dumb. He knew this roster wasn't going to be that good. I don't think he expected it to be this bad, but he knew they were going to have problems. To fire Doug Christie after 1 year and try and preach stability and continue this pattern of instability at the head coaching position, which the Kings have had for the better part of 20 years. That's why I was so frustrated with the Mike Brown hiring or firing, because I thought we finally got past that. I thought we finally had stability at that position that you could rely on for a long time. I think it would be nothing but detrimental for the Sacramento Kings to fire Doug Christie this summer or this season and not let him at least get through the 2 years of the contract that are guaranteed, even if there's like a Ty Lue out there, because you got to start, your words have to mean something. And Perry's words were that me and Doug are unified in this vision and this identity that we have for this organization and for this team. So stand by that and give Doug more than 1 year with a roster that you tried to put duct tape and band-aids on to prove that he can have success with this roster, and don't make him afraid to lose his job so that he has to play and try and desperately win games at a time where winning games is not really valuable to this team.
Man, it's such an interesting conversation, because, you know, in this respect, I don't envy Scott Perry or any general manager, but I always think back to or I ask the question, would you do something like that even if you don't believe it's the right thing to do? Like, it's not the right move to make. Like, would, in Matt's scenario, man, you know, I've said things in the past, if I'm Scott Perry, about building a culture and all this other stuff, but man, Doug is not the guy for the job. And you feel that, you believe that. Do you just keep Doug around because you don't want the look to be bad?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And I think that's what these guys face a lot of time. We talk about that with the Raiders. Like, it'd be a bad look to have their fourth coach in 4 years. Mm-hmm. That might be a reason why you don't do it. But if you know Pete is not the guy, you made a mistake, do you move on from him anyway?
I think firing Doug leads down two separate dark paths, which can both run parallel to each other. The first one is Scott Perry's words, all those elegant things that he said, they don't mean anything, which I think a certain part of the fan base will feel that way. Here we go again. It's just another general manager who says something, but it's just words. The action's not there. And the other part is, see, nothing's changed. Ownership's making the calls. They forced this on Scott Perry. Scott Perry made the move or the change as quickly as he could. But Vivek's still Vivek, and why should we believe anything is going to change and that the next head coach that they hire is going to be anything short of Vivek's decision? Because blah, blah, blah. Like, you just continue to open the door to this speculation that just should not exist for any competent organization. And then the third prong to that, too, is something that you guys talked about a lot on this show, I think last week. Doug's not some coach that just came in. Like, Doug's a Sacramento guy, and this fan base already had to kind of go through Vlade Divac going from hero to villain in a way in this city for the decisions that he made as the general manager. Like, I don't think that same villain persona is going to be taken on by Doug. We know Doug's intentions. We know why Doug's here, and to fire that or quit on that after 1 year, when, just like I've been clamoring about Mike Brown for months, you didn't give him a competent roster to really judge him with. And when he had a competent roster, Mike had success. When Doug Christie, what Doug was able to do last season to stop the Titanic from sinking at least a little bit slow, like made the sink a little bit slower, like that means something to me. So I don't see any short-term positive that comes from firing Doug Christie. And I think it is a PR nightmare for this organization that is terrified of PR nightmares and quite frankly can't afford anymore at this point.
Are they? Are they terrified of PR nightmares? Because
I can tell you they are.
Okay. Well, good for them.
But sometimes
I ain't even really told them how I feel about them yet, given some things that we learned about this offseason, but... Mm-hmm.
See, I do everything Matt's saying, I feel 100%. But I do feel like I land on the side of, you have to do what you believe is going to get you where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how that might look, how that might feel, whose feelings it might hurt, what people might say about you in the moment. If you believe that this is the best move, whatever that is, getting rid of a coach, a trade, whatever. If you feel like this is best to get you in a good spot, I think you gotta man up, be ready to face whatever you gotta face, but make the move.
That's it. That's the part right there. You gotta man up, you gotta own it, and you gotta be fully transparent about the reality of the situation. You better be ready to, even if it wasn't your decision, you better be ready to, LOL, double down on what it was and really take the bullet for it, take the hit for it. Like, nope, this was me. Doug was my decision. It failed. It wasn't the right choice. It's not the right going forward. It's me. I know what I said before. Some of it, this is kind of counterproductive to some of the things I'm saying, but it needs to happen. It's me. The last situation we had after a coach got fired, what happened? We had months before Monty McNair took the podium. And at that point, he was a man waiting to be fired, and his answers to our questions about was it his decision or not were as hollow as we expected them to be. So, like, if Perry's going to make that call, you empowered him to make that call, it better be 100% his call, and he better be 100% ready to face the music for it immediately, which I hope he would be.
Hypothetically, if you're Matt George and Scott Perry is given that press conference, we've let Doug Christie go, and here's what we're going to do, blah, 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 blah. What would your first question to Scott Perry be?
What changed from the point of last offseason when you hired him and we're talking about this vision for the organization? What truly changed from that point to now? Because we didn't expect the team to be very good. The team was obviously very, very bad. Why is it Doug's problem? Why was it Doug's fault that last season went as bad, or this season went as poorly as it did? That would be the thing I'd be most curious to know.
And he's a great talker, so I'd be curious to how he answered that, because if I didn't get what I was looking for, I would ask more directly. Did someone else in the organization tell you you can be the general manager, but Doug Christie needs to be our head coach to start your tenure?
Which I imagine that would be the first question for whoever got the mic first, whether it's James or Sean or whoever. And to me, like, I try and ask questions.
Shout out Chris Biederman, because I think Chris Biederman was the one who asked Monty at the very, very end of that press conference you just referred to, hey, we haven't gotten to talk to you. Whose call was it to fire Vivek?
Yep.
Or fire, excuse me, Mike Brown. And he said mine. And I think he got up and left.
Yeah. My personal approach is I try and ask questions that I don't already know the answer to. And I have a feeling I know exactly what Scott Perry will say. And it's what he needs to say. It's the correct thing to say. But I think I already know the answer to that question. It was mine at the time, blah, 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 and then empty words or whatever. It's just air. Like, and that's what I would expect it to be, because that's what you kind of have to do in that seat, in that spot. Like, if Scott Perry goes, nope, that was ownership's decision, completely not mine, I don't know how long Scott Perry can expect to have a job. He might get the respect and admiration of the entire fan base, but he'll lose his job for it. And maybe he doesn't care. Maybe he's ready to light it on fire on his way out too, but I don't think that's happening. The question that I pose is, like, what did you expect? Like, even if the team was better than they are right now, and they are supposed to be, they should be, even if they made the play-in, great. Maybe they make the first round of the playoffs and lose in four or five games at best. Great. You were still going to make these changes anyway. You knew these changes had to be made. What did you expect Doug Christie to do? Like, that's because I'm curious what the answer would be to that, because everything that they laid out and talked about in those opening press conferences, to me, somewhat to some extent, separated from the current and focused on the future. It was all about where we're going and what we're looking for to get there, and acknowledging it's going to take work to get there. So what's changed now that you've gone through one season that went terribly with the roster that you figured was not part of your future? Why is suddenly Doug no longer part of that future? Unless Doug is rebelling against you, which isn't the case. Like, that's what I'm curious.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I say this not as Kenny Caraway, because I believe in Doug to the end. Like, that's just how I feel about him. But maybe in that situation, if this were to arise, Scott might say something where at the time, I believed that Doug was the guy. I saw him day in and day out. And I saw some of the things that went in to, you know, trying to get this franchise on the right track. And today, I just don't believe he's the guy that's going to get us there. Sometimes it doesn't have to be something nefarious, something. When I met him and talked to him a year ago, I believed that he could do this. I spent 365 days with him. and my opinions and my feelings have changed. And I just don't think he's the guy right now that this franchise needs. Maybe it's as simple as that.
KC, that's very, very possible. And if that's the case, then he has to face the realities of what is the conversation going to be on this show, on Locked On Kings, on any show after that. It's now there are concerns about you as a veteran general manager, your decision making. Doesn't mean that you're never going to make mistakes, but now there we're talking about, hey, the first year of your tenure here in Sacramento, it's like a D minus at best. You hired the wrong coach, got rid of him immediately. You signed Dennis Schroeder, didn't work out. We have no idea how the Keon Ellis thing is going to play out. We'll see what he does at the trade deadline. But like, if that's what it is, and there's a very good chance that's what it is, that's where he needs to own it and be honest. And if that's what it is, then great, be honest about it. But the repercussions with that are now you have a fan base that's already like, do I trust anything with this organization? Mm-hmm. Now, suddenly I don't trust my GM as much, and how is this going to be any different? Like, that's the reality of the situation. So yeah. If he's willing to own that because he's been around, like he worked in New York, for God's sake. He knows what it is to have a fan base up in arms and speaking their mind and media that's not afraid. Sacramento's nothing compared to that. But like that, he has to own it. And if that's what it is, then that's what it is. But you got to own the fact that your first year as a general manager, brother, you got off to a really, really bad start. And you're the veteran general manager that was supposed to be different and better than the first time general managers that the Kings have had in Pete D'Alessandro, Vlade Divac, and then Monty McNair.
Are you surprised that it's Max getting the nod first over Nick Clifford?
No, because of the injuries.
Okay.
Because Domas is down right now, right? Like if Keegan were still down and Domas were playing, I think it would probably be more Nick. But the answer is it needs to be both of them. Hmm. But it makes sense to me with the injury to Domantas Sabonis right now.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on what happens with Zach LaVine, like if last night was a precursor to what the future of Zach LaVine's minutes may be, we may be seeing more Nick Clifford than we originally thought moving forward.
Yeah, and like he did some good things last night. I thought defensively he moves his feet really well defensively. The one bucket that he did score, it was a strong take to the basket, which is good to see. I like the fact that he shot three threes. He went 0-for-3. But he's taken those shots. And that's where like we can acknowledge where we're at versus where we need to go. Because Casey, like I'd be lying to you right now if I told you, hey, in March, if Neek's playing 20 to 25 minutes a night, but he's consistently going 0-for-3 or 1-for-3 from 3-point range, I'm not just going to be happy because he's playing. But right now he's playing. And if he's shooting the basketball, I want to see him shoot the basketball, right? It's the same way I kind of felt about Keegan last week. Like last night's game was not acceptable for Keegan Murray. He did some good things, 11 rebounds, good. Like, I'm glad you grabbed some rebounds when nobody else on the team could because you got destroyed on the glass. He got his steals, got his blocks. He's been doing that consistently since he came back. But what did he go? I don't remember his shooting percentage, but it was really bad.
It was two of 11.
Two of 11. Three.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be the guy, if this is going to be your team, as DeMar DeRozan labeled it, we're assuming the rest of this season, we don't expect the Kings to be very good, but for the rest of this season, the Kings are going to experiment with Keegan Murray being, if not the number one option, a top option. You can go 2 of 11 every once in a while and we'll chalk it up to a bad game. But if you're going 2 of 11 and you're taking a high volume of threes and you're still shooting in the low 30s percentage wise, like people are going to feel a certain type of way about it. So right now I'm cool with Nick Clifford going out there, trying some things and failing. I'm cool with Keegan Murray turning the ball over two times because he's trying to dribble the basketball and be aggressive and get to some spots and do some things. I'm good with that right now in December because we're finally starting to see it. But if that's what it's going to be for the rest of the season, you best believe by March, April, we should be able to see something that consistently more often than not goes positive than negative with the playing time. Yeah.
We got about 2 minutes left. What are you, Matt George, host of Locked On Kings, ABC 10 reporter, Kings fan, seeing from Keon Ellis?
Man. I mean, Keon has always done things defensively that don't show up in the box score, but the number one thing he does defensively that does show up in the box score is steals. I wish they would put deflections on the box score. I truthfully have no idea how many deflections that he had last night. Keon's game last night was unacceptable. I was very happy to see him playing 20 minutes, but like dude, you got to make an impact in some way, shape, or form. And one of the major primary arguments for playing Keon Ellis is his three-point shooting, right? He's a 41-42% three-point shooter. He spaces the floor. Then he can't be going 0 points and 0-for-4 from three-point range. Like, you got to knock those shots down, dude. Like, if you're going to get the playing time, great. You got to deliver. More often than not, he has, but that can't become, we can't see that very much if you're going to get that playing time anymore.
And
can't have graphics made out of you.
Yeah, man, you can't have the first, you can't have any Snell game, but you definitely can't have the first one of the season.
Brutal.
Shout out Tony Snell.
Always, I guess. Tony Snell jersey. Well, no Kings game tonight. No Kings game tomorrow. We got a hell of a football game tonight.
We do.
The latest loser leaves town match. The Cowboys have been in playoff games for weeks now. If they get to the playoffs, they're going to earn it, and they're going to have to put perhaps the final nail in the coffin of the Detroit Lions to do it. We'll be back tomorrow to prepare for the week ahead to recap that one. We've got Kings and Miami on Saturday. We'll touch on all of that. We appreciate you so much for being with us. If you're listening on the radio, don't go anywhere. We'll run it back. Everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. With the insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, neither one of these teams.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.